Good afternoon, friends, and welcome again to Grace Hour. Great to be here. I'm Pastor Rinaldo Brown, and I'm in the studio with Pastor Barry Quirk. And we're talking this week about the Holy Spirit, perhaps one of the most misunderstood relationships in the Church of God today. There's this gigantic gap between our understanding and operation in the Spirit versus what Scripture says about the Holy Spirit. There's entire denominations built upon a specific interpretation of the ministry of the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. So this week in Grace Hour, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we're speaking kind of specifically about the filling of the Spirit. And I can tell you right now, Pastor Barry, of all the questions that I'm asked in countries around the world, new believers, old believers, doesn't matter the country, one of the top three questions I'm asked is, what is the filling of the Spirit? How am I filled with the Spirit? How do I know I'm Spirit-filled? It's like there's this check. They keep saying these verses that say, be Spirit-filled, follow the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. How do I know? So today we'll talk about that. We'd love to hear from you here on the Grace Hour. You can write into us with your questions. Email at questions@gracehour.org. You can also catch us on podcasts at Apple and Google and Spotify. We'd love to see you there. You can also pick us up on YouTube Live, Facebook Live, and gracehour.org. Or you can call in. We'd love to talk to you about the ministry of the filling of the Holy Spirit. You can call us locally at 410-483-3700, or you can call us long distance at 1-800-338-7060. We'd love to hear from you. So we'll begin the program with maybe some comments from Pastor Barry.
Well, first of all, great to be with you, Pastor Rinaldo. Great to share the studio here. And yeah, I think this is a really an awesome topic because we can have misconceptions about what it means to be Spirit-filled.
Yes.
And we could even start out like a flash in the pan Christian that's speaking in those terms and in vocabulary, only to find ourselves exhausted and empty and disappointed because maybe we have a misconception of what it means to walk in the Spirit, you know? Okay. And so I like the topic. I think there's a lot of, as you said, a lot of area where people are kind of walking in the margins of what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? What does it mean to have the indwelling of the Spirit? What's the difference? And these are some things that we're gonna talk about today. I know that the Monday edition, they talked about the indwelling of the Spirit. So you perhaps have already had, some really good conversation that you've heard on the topic. But you know, how does a believer wake up in the morning and who speaks to him? And we asked our high school chapel this morning, we're filling in for Pastor Love, who, good news, Pastor Love underwent his surgery yesterday on his leg, and he's recovering and just needs a little time now to recover, but hopefully he's going to be back soon. But when we talked to the high school students, we asked them, you know, do you know you're a believer? Like, how do you know you're a believer? What is it in your belief that actually gives you confidence?
Right.
And this is a great topic. You know, some of it is faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm, and some of it is putting on, you know, the armor of God and walking in the Spirit. But there's a lot. I like that we would ask this question because I think it's an important one.
That's a good question. I feel that a lot of times as Christians we see the event and we see the life, and the Spirit is part of both. And we're just trying to understand how the Spirit is involved in the event of becoming a Christian, salvation. And then there's this relationship with the Spirit in terms of the life, sanctification.
Yeah.
And I think John 1:12, as many as believed, gave he the power to be made the sons and daughters of God. And then we hear that phrase, born again. So I think most Christians have a general idea about the Holy Spirit's involvement in becoming a Christian.
Yeah,
but I think many Christians fumble or don't have a lot of clarity about what it means to live in the Spirit as a Christian. Or I would even take it this far, Pastor Barry. Maybe they don't see the need for the Holy Spirit beyond the event.
Yes.
And so, okay, the Holy Spirit made me born again.
Right.
Now I just go live my life sans Spirit, with no Spirit. So then when someone else says, well, you have to be filled or led, what does that mean? I wake up in the morning, I believe in God, right?
Right.
I believe in God, I go to church, I read my Bible, the Spirit comes to our service and we see the presence of God, the power of God, and that's another conversation in itself,
right?
The power versus the presence of God.
Right.
But it's like, okay, and that's it. that's completely it. Or what I pray, I mean, you believers, a lot of guys don't even think about when they pray, do I need the Holy Spirit involved in my prayer life? Mm-hmm. Do I need the Holy Spirit involved in, I guess I'd be shocked how little of my day, my day-to-day operations, do I need the Holy Spirit? A lot of believers think this way. They think, I need faith to live with God, but I don't need the Spirit to live with God. I'll share this brief story with you. I met a guy in our church here. He got saved in our church, was in our church for, I want to say, 4 to 7 years, roughly. And one day he called me and he said to me, I'm struggling with sin. I keep trying not to sin, but I keep sinning. And he explains the sins, and he says, and I don't know why, it's a weird answer, but the Holy Spirit just said to me, ask him this. And I asked him, are you Spirit-filled? He said, what do you mean? I said, do you know that if you're Spirit-filled, you won't sin? It's the Spirit that prevents you from sinning. He said, no, I never thought about that. I thought that for me not to make mistakes, I just try not to make mistakes. And if I keep making mistakes, it's because I'm not trying hard enough. And if I try hard enough, I won't make enough mistakes. And he said, in areas of my life that worked for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then I didn't have any victory. And perhaps we lack victory in our life with God because we lack fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's a great, great point. And we've had a discussion recently. I think Zane Turk brought it up in a message, and we've talked about it a little bit. But the difference between power and authority, you know, power is the MMA guy who's in great shape. Authority is the police officer who can actually arrest the person, right? So the power is useless if there's no authority to yield the power in a way that's going to be effective. And I think our walk in the Holy Spirit is, to some degree, it's like that. We can know about what it means to walk in the Spirit, but we don't necessarily walk in the Spirit. And I think something that's really interesting for the believer is, well, and we'll talk about it, but Galatians 5:16 that says, you know, if we walk in the Spirit, then we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And maybe that's in a way, if you misunderstand that and you think like, you know, oh, I'm not going to sin, I'm not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh because I'm walking in the Spirit. I look at it like this, that, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit versus being filled with spirit of this world, or let's say, be not drunk with much wine or unto excess. The point is that the Holy Spirit and that Spirit cannot occupy the same position, right?
Well said.
So if we're walking in the flesh, there's not a place for that, for the Holy Spirit to fill us on the daily basis. And maybe we need to go back to the beginning and say, you know, there's two types of Spirit filling that we're talking about here. One is the indwelling of the Spirit, which happens one time. That's the events that you mentioned earlier, that the moment we are saved, the book of Ephesians tells us that when we are saved, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, which means that, and I explained it like this to the high school this morning, you know, we're all born with a light bulb in the socket, but we're not born with the light bulb screwed into the socket. So we have the capacity to receive the things of God. But until Christ actually comes in and screws the light bulb in, so to speak, it doesn't matter how many times we flip the switch, there's not going to be any enlightenment, right?
Sure.
But when we become saved, that light bulb is screwed in. Now, it's screwed in. We have the capacity to have it enlighten our souls. But do we ever flip the switch? And I think the point is that we are one time filled with the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit. He'll never leave us or forsake us. No man can snatch him out of our hand, and that's another whole topic, but we're confident of that. We're enough that I can make that statement boldly without worrying about it. But do we ever experience the life of the Spirit in us on a daily basis? You know, is the flip of the switch happening so that I can experience what God wants me to experience, which is His light shining through me? It doesn't involve me fighting or combating sin. You know, we hear that expression, let's fight sin, let's fight sin. What for? Jesus already paid the price for that. You know, how about fight to stay focused on the right thing? Stay focused on what does it take for the Holy Spirit to be present in my life, and how could I be quickened by that instead of being in a battle all the time and being in trouble by it. And I think this is the difference between knowledge and experience, right, or power and authority.
Okay.
So maybe that's a good way to start it, is that once the capacity to receive the things of God is there at salvation, mm-hmm, there is still an opportunity to grow in grace. Now, being filled with the Spirit can happen at times.
Okay.
We can wake up in the morning and say, "Good Lord, it's morning," or "Good morning, Lord," right? And it's one of my favorite expressions. But really, when I wake up in the morning, there's a battle for my mind.
Yes.
What am I going to feast on? Am, mm-hmm, I going to feast on all the opportunities I have in Christ Jesus to express the incredible inheritance that I've received from, mm-hmm, him? Mm-hmm. Or am I going to struggle with trying to determine what I don't have access to, or what I, mm-hmm, you know, why can't I achieve this, or why can't, mm-hmm, I do that? And, mm-hmm, God says, listen, just follow me and trust me.
Yeah, yeah.
Put your trust in me, and I'll direct your paths. I'll be, mm-hmm, the one who will raise you up and promote you. So I don't know. It's a good conversation to have, especially with young people. Mm-hmm. You know, do you feel the Holy Spirit? Well, if we're looking for a feeling,
yeah,
then we're probably going to be disappointed. But if we walk in the Spirit, we actually do feel the peace of God,
yeah,
that goes,
yeah,
with us, right? John 14:26,
yes,
he calls him the Comforter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He sends us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He reveals the things to us that we've committed from his word.
Yeah.
Right? So we learn what his character is. We commit them to heart. We agree with them by faith. They take residence in our soul. And then the Holy Spirit reveals them to us in situations that we walk through in life. So, mm-hmm, how can I afford to walk through life without having, mm-hmm, the Holy Spirit present in my life and leading and guiding and directing me in all truth?
So I want to go back a little bit about the filling part.
And, yep,
you heard earlier this week about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I like the word possession,
mm-hmm,
because it's two things. I possess God and God possesses me. The, yes, I possess God is possession. But then filling is more of God possessing me.
Yes.
What possesses me is actually possessing me. Or what I possess, rather, is possessing me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the big difference, I say, between indwelling and filling, is that indwelling means I've got it. But as he said, filling speaks about flipping the switch. Yeah. When he mentioned, Pastor Barry mentioned Galatians 5:17, this battle that I wake up with,
yep,
the lust against the flesh and the lust against the spirit. And that's what I wake up with. Spoiler alert, shock alert, you don't wake up in the spirit. You actually have to choose to be spirit-filled. I mean,
we wake up in a spirit, but, yeah, it's probably not the, yeah, spirit.
You know not what spirit you are, and maybe exactly, that's true for me as a believer.
Because, yeah,
most of us are taught that we're not so much taught about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're taught about, as infant Christians, a relationship with God,
mm-hmm,
and we don't put the two things together.
Yeah.
And even some denominations relegate the third member of the Trinity to a power. So you're not really connected to a person. So, mm-hmm, when I connect to God, I get his power. So if I connect to God, the Father, God, the Son, I get the power. But they don't see a person. So I wake up in the morning, I say my prayers to God.
Yeah.
I read my Bible about God. But have I made that decision to connect in the Spirit? Is what I possess. I think Paul talked about it in Philippians 3. I'm trying to apprehend what's apprehended me. The converse of that would be, is what I possess possessing me?
Yes.
So that's the big understanding there that we really want to get out today, that there's a difference between possessing the Holy Spirit, which you're given,
right,
at the point of salvation, in Ephesians 1:13, and I think you quoted Ephesians 4:30, but also, I'll use a different word, participating.
Yes.
To participate, to be, and that's really spirit filling, and that's what we're talking about today. What does it mean for the Holy Spirit to fill me? Because you hear that word, Pastor Barry, and you ask yourself this question. I ask this question. Am I an empty cup?
Mm.
And the Holy Spirit's got to come down and fill me. Because you hear Christian songs that say, "Lord, fill me up. Also, fill my cup, Lord."
Yeah.
So you have this idea in Christendom by a lot of believers that I don't have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And this is interesting. This goes back to what you said earlier. If I don't have the Holy Spirit, I have to call him in. I can also lose him because the same way I got him.
Hmm.
So if I open the door to the possibility that I don't possess the Holy Spirit, I have to open the door to the possibility that I could lose the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They're both on the table now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the promise in the scripture never says that we have to ask God for his indwelling.
Yes.
You know, like that was an automatic inheritance that happened. That came with the package, you know. And actually, you know, the principle there is that we trust in the word.
Right.
We heard the word. We agreed with the word. We believed. And at the moment that we believed, the moment of salvation, that he gave us the earnest of our inheritance, right? Which is really speaks specifically about a down payment for things to come. We never lose that down payment. It's always, and it's a down payment of promise, right? This is an inheritance of promise, which means, hey, I am going to fill you. I have filled you with my spirit. You are a believer. I have filled you with my spirit. Now, or I've possessed you with my spirit. Now, you can voluntarily be filled with my spirit on the day-to-day basis. And the interesting thing is in Romans 6:13, it says, don't yield yourselves as instruments of unrighteousness.
Okay.
Right? But yield yourselves as instruments of righteousness. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is waiting to have fellowship with us, but we have to allow him to be present in our lives. And I like another song that Brody Wright sang this morning in chapel, which was beautiful. And that's like, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Please come and fill this place with your atmosphere. Right? This isn't a, you know, I don't have the Holy Spirit in my life because, you know, he only comes and goes like in the Old Testament,
right?
You know, where he would a pillar by night or cloud by night, by day, and a pillar by night. And well, the Holy Spirit actually is present in our lives, but there is a gift, and the Bible says, do not be slothful, but stir up that gift which is in you. In other words, let's agree with God. Let the Holy Spirit have presence in our lives, and we'll operate in the way that he wants us to. And while we're doing that, we're not occupied with the flesh or the failures or the sin. And I think that's really what Galatians 5 is getting at. It's saying when you are agreeing with God, when we are saying, Lord, I need to walk this morning, and I love what you just said. We don't wake up filled with the Spirit. We wake up and we have, you know, almost, you know, idle minds are the tool of the devil, or idle hands. But you think about that. It's like, okay, so I wake up and I have to think with God, or I'm going to think in my flesh. And if I think in my flesh, I'm going to be occupied with the things of flesh. And if I'm occupied with the things of the flesh, I cannot be occupied with the things of the Spirit. Right. But who are the sons of God in Romans chapter 5? You know, but we are those that are led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Right. We are those that are led by the Spirit of God. So the sons of God, we're led by the Spirit of God. That's a daily activity. That's something that we would say, Lord, I need to walk in your Spirit today, in your leading and your guidance. Does that mean if you don't ask him that you have not been sealed by the Holy Spirit? No, that issue is dealt with. That issue is sealed. Signed, sealed, and delivered, right? The moment we got saved. But can we be walking around in our flesh, not experiencing? Well, let me ask you a question. If you got a big inheritance, right? Somebody passed away and said, Pastor Ronaldo, I've left you billions of dollars, but you didn't actually hear about it, and you just kept operating like it didn't exist.
Like normal.
And somebody came and said, hey, you need to read this letter. I don't have time. I got to go work. I got to go make money, blah, 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 blah. And your inheritance is sitting there. Yeah. It's yours. You own it. It's already been given to you. You're just not walking in it. You don't have the experience in it. You don't get to spend the money, right? And the Bible is saying to us that we have been made incredible heirs of the promises of God. And we have them available to us, but do we walk in them? Are we filled with His Spirit on a daily basis? And I think the first step there is that we yield ourselves and say, it's not I, but it's you, you know?
Well, you've definitely got me running. In my mind's eye about the next question. Because, okay, now that there's a difference, you now enlightened me as a believer that, okay, I not only possess the Holy Spirit, but I now have, I'm going to use a different word, I have a dependent responsibility to be Spirit-filled.
Yes.
Not just an option. Because if you make the Spirit optional, then it's an option and the flesh is never going to take advantage of.
Yeah.
But when you say dependent responsibility, it's because when you think of all the things that God is asking me to do and listen and I walk in, I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So I'm dependent. I have to be responsible There's no way I can obey God. There's no way I can serve God. There's no way I can know God without the Holy Spirit. So it's a bit more serious than an option.
Yeah.
It's a dependent responsibility. So that being said, here is the question that here's the number one rap question around the world. How, what must you do in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I think earlier this week they covered the indwelling.
Yes.
To get it. Yep. Okay. Now that I have it. It's kind of the inheritance you're talking about. How do I spend that money?
Yeah.
What's the PIN code? What's the password? What's the cryptocurrency? Help me figure it out, because that's the thing that Christians spend their whole day, and no one wants to say, I'm not spirit-filled. We have songs that talk about getting it. We have preachers that talk about the problem with your life is you're not spirit-filled. Like the young man I was telling you about, I said to him, you're not spirit-filled. He goes, what? I said, you are literally walking in the flesh trying to do the things of the Spirit. Mm. And in John 3, 3 through 6, the flesh produces only the flesh and the Spirit only the Spirit. So that's the big question. We'd love to hear from you guys out there, by the way. Do we have a caller on line one? Is he still there? John?
Hi, yes.
Hi, sir. How are you? Welcome. You're on the Grace Hour.
Thank you very much. One time, Dr. Stevens, his emphasis for the convention was Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present your body to Jesus.
Yes.
I started presenting my body to Jesus every morning and recognizing that I was co-crucified with him, mm-hmm. I died with him,
mm-hmm.
I was buried with him, and the same Spirit that raised him from the dead has raised me from the dead.
Yes.
To fill me with the Spirit.
Well, that's a great combination of Romans 6 and also Romans 8, 11. About co-death, co-burial, co-crucifixion, and co-resurrection in Romans 6. And that's also the Spirit quickening us in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. That's a great combination, John.
That's right.
Mm. Beautiful. I like that thought. I like the thought, John, you have of beginning my day with God. Because I don't think you can catch it up, but you waste so much of your day. I mean, It's so interesting. I guess this the Ephesians chapter 6, putting on the whole armor. That's the beginning your day with God. That's being spirit filled. All those things that this thing we're talking about today, being spirit filled. That's gotta be how I begin my day, because if I don't, I can begin my day in the flesh pursuing the things of God, and that's the journey that will always end badly.
Amen.
Yeah. Those are great comments. We really appreciate that, John.
Thank you for calling in, John. And for those of you listening to us, we'd love to hear from you. 410-833-3700 locally and outside of America, 1-800-338-7060. Call the Grace Hour. And also, you can write your questions in. And today, we're talking about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Barry's going to walk with me through that, about how do I get spirit-filled? How am I spirit-filled? How does that happen? Yeah. There's books and books and books and books and books.
Yeah.
There's recipes. Yeah. There's 16 ways to be filled with the Spirit, Pastor Barry. I could go to the Christian bookstore and find tons of information on that.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, we don't have to go any further than the Word of God.
Thank God for that.
Because Romans 8, 1 says that we are no longer living in condemnation, mm-hmm. if we're in Christ Jesus, right?
Yes.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Spirit, in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Mm-hmm. So yes, the indwelling brought us to a place where we have a standing,
okay.
Right? That standing is that we are filled with the Spirit. The mm-hmm. Spirit will never leave us or forsake us. The next part is that we can be conformed to this world in Romans chapter 12, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But the Bible says, don't be conformed or formed together or pushed together with the world, but be transformed mm-hmm. by the renewing of our minds. Mm-hmm. And what is the renewing of our minds? Well, the renewing of our minds is really when we wake up in the morning, do we agree with God that mm-hmm. we need him today in order to not fulfill the lust of the flesh, mm-hmm. because our good intentions pave the road to hell in a way. Mm. You know, good intentions are nice. I had a good idea. I didn't want to do this.
Right.
But really, what do I really need to do is say, Lord, I want to yield my way to your way. I want to walk in your steps. Mm-hmm. I want to, first of all, your word is very clear about who I am as a believer.
Yes.
We see evidences all along. You know, there's in Acts chapter 4, I believe it is, in verse 8, Peter is facing this huge group of people gathered who are looking for blood.
Yep.
You know, and it says that, and Peter being filled with the Spirit, said, and as he was filled by the Spirit, he said the words that had real eternal value. If we just have the efforts of our flesh, we don't really have anything to offer people.
Exactly.
But God really is desirous to give us his mind. He does give us his mind. He tells us to put on, you know, to think with the mind of Christ, not to think with the mind of the flesh. He offers us to refresh our mind daily. He tells us that we're not subject to the law of condemnation. If our heart condemns us, he's greater than our heart.
Yes.
All of these things are walking in the Spirit. They are all things, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Like, these are things that happen as a result of us yielding ourselves to God. We don't have to try to be fruitful, loving, joyous, peaceful, but we say, Lord, in my flesh, I can't accomplish any of those things. But thankfully, when I walk in your Spirit, you actually give to us the capacity to be able to love people, because we're no longer seeing how this affects our flesh or what the benefit is personally, but we're seeing, how do I walk with God in the Spirit? And as a result of walking in the Spirit, there are fruit.
Let's build with that. So so what we have here, now we're kind of putting two things together here. Mm-hmm. We're growing here a little bit. So being filled with the Spirit kind of is the first step to walking in the Spirit. So I hope you're getting that from Pastor Barry today. You filled, and the way he describes filling is, first of all, deciding the need to be filled. I wake up in the flesh. I wake up carnally minded. Born again or unborn again, I wake up in the flesh. And then I have to, Ephesians 4:22, I have to put that off. I have to decide that I don't want that and that I need that. So then I've got to see the need. And then he says, because I see the need, there's an asking. There's a yielding. There's a yielding by faith to the Spirit that I already possess. I yield to that. I think that's the Ephesians 5:18 he's connecting to. I'm yielding to that. So now I'm yielding to the Spirit. Okay, God. It's kind of like, I think the way I think about Ephesians 5:18 being filled, the word is plural, and it means to be filled up.
Yes.
It means to yield control. So imagine you're in a car and you're driving the car and God is in the passenger seat, and you hand the steering wheel to God. You hand the steering wheel to the Holy Spirit. Now you're still in the car, but now he's directing where it's going. And that yielding, that Romans 6 yielding right there, that yielding is being Spirit filled. And God will not take the steering wheel from me. I have to willingly, by faith, give it to God.
Yes.
So you can't, God, being Spirit filled is not an assault where the Holy Spirit comes in and hijacks you. It comes in and grabs you and says, hey, by the way, come here. Yeah, no, it's a yielding. It's just like you became a Christian.
Yes.
You gave yourself over to God. You asked, you gave by faith. You're kind of repeating the process throughout every day, throughout your day. I think you do this, Pastor Barry, more than once a day. I think you do it at the beginning of your day. It's a constant checking, a constant yielding, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the Christian walk is not a walk of regulations.
Yes.
Right? But it's a walk of life. And that life is not our own life, but it's the life of Calvary. It's the life of the cross. If I wake up in the morning and I start to think about, you know, who am I? Who am I? Am I a sinner? Am I a person that fell short? You know, if you're living in all the consequences and the guilt and the suffering of my own life, falling short of what God sees as, you know, his perfection, then I'm going to be miserable. But if I see myself as, I'm a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I have fallen short, but I can wake up in the morning and I can renew my relationship with God. You know, we had a sacrificial system in the Old Testament, right?
Yes.
And that sacrificial system was to make a sacrifice to cleanse our hearts and to restore our relationship with God so that we could hear from him. You know, the men of God of the Old Testament, they sought after the presence of God for everything they did. It was in the You know, the if they mishandled the ark, they mishandled the presence of God, there was dire consequences.
Yes.
If they went into battle without the presence of God, there was dire consequences. Well, in some degrees, it's the same today. Like we have the same necessity in our lives. If we are really to combat something that the Bible says cannot be won without the delivery of the Lord, then we better have the delivery of the Lord or we're going to be in trouble. So in our Christian walk, when we're yielding ourselves, and by the way, I kind of think that this is an interesting topic as well, because walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh are mutually exclusive, right?
Yes.
You can't do both. You can't walk in the Spirit and, you know, be Spirit-filled and fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. They're diabolically opposed to each other, right?
Yes. Or,
you know, and that's for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. There's no, this isn't one of those diagrams where there's a, you know, a section in the middle that is mutually inclusive. You're either walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. Now, where the whole holiness crowd and all these people get it all wrong is that they make this walk an energy of the flesh. Like that we can somehow be holy without yielding ourselves as instruments of righteousness to God, and saying, you know, we are incapable of walking in truth outside of God's grace giving us that opportunity. But he has, so we are to walk, right? And and those things which you both heard and learned in me, that's what we walk in. And that's how we know the God of all peace, right? The peace of God comes with us in Philippians 4 when we walk in the truth that has been set apart for us. So as Christians, right, we have this book, this Bible. If the only thing we needed the Bible for was to get saved, give me John 3:16 and I'm good to go, right? Like, okay, the Romans road, there's 3:10 and 3:23, there's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of our sin is death, Romans 6:23. Believe in it with your mouth and confess with your heart, all those things, right? Okay, so have that little concoction. Now I'm saved. Now I just live my life. Well, we can just live our lives, but we're living our lives with a temporal purpose, with nothing beyond our immediate circumstances. And the Bible says that we, you know, we are created in his image to glorify him. And there's so much. We can have eternity right now. We can live in the eternal purpose right now. We can walk in truth right now. We can have the spoils of our inheritance right now. Now, we don't see him face to face at the moment. We see through a glass dimly, but the promises are yea and amen, and they are for us, and they are available to us. So how are we going to experience that? Well, we are going to walk in his Spirit and let him reveal himself to us daily.
Beautiful.
As we get to know the character of God, we start to realize that there are things in the character of God that are given to us, and we can only really experience them when we're operating by faith, walking in the Spirit of God, receiving the things that he says about us. So now imagine when I wake up in the morning, instead of saying, oh, good morning, good Lord, it's morning, we can say, good morning, Lord, you today have restored me.
Amen.
You have built me up. You have made me to be a person who can walk in your truth, express your life to others, can be used with an eternal purpose. And also, I don't even know what the day holds. I don't even know what the day holds, but I know this. When I yield myself to you,
yes,
I can walk in you. I can put on the armor of God. I can be experienced with you. Then it's going to be a great day.
Good word. Awesome. Let's take some of our internet comments right now. Bring it down a little bit. Let's see. It's a lot today. Let's start from the top there. Move that up a little bit. Great stuff. I like that. After I read these comments, Pastor Barry, I think there's a few questions in there we'll jump into.
Okay,
I'll start there. Carol Bailey says, we cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with self and sin and mental attitude sin. God fills us as we submit to the Holy Spirit in humility and obedience, which is what you've been saying about this yielding. And when on the other half of these comments, I want to talk about, now that I'm filled, how do I walk? And I'm going to get to that in a second. Oretta Carter, my good friend, good morning, dear heart. The Holy Spirit never leaves the believer in Jesus Christ. We can grieve the Spirit if we live in the flesh. That's true. If we live in the flesh in an extended period of time, we can grieve the flesh, grieve the Spirit, rather. Madeline Johnson says, good morning, faithful gentlemen. Elizabeth Hogue says, so it takes time, patience, and involves resting in Christ, the Holy Spirit, and what he's promised us, and letting him fill me and reveal my inheritance. Yes, Elizabeth, as I yield to the Spirit, he shows me through revelation what is mine positionally and what is mine operationally. All of that is revealed by the Spirit. Carol A. Bailey again says, he fills us, quickens us, and every moment in obedience we walk in the Holy Spirit. Moment by moment, we are either walking in the Spirit or and operating in him or in the energy of our flesh. Romans chapter 8 kind of brings that dichotomous relationship. So does Galatians 5. Elizabeth Hogue says, resting involves my obedience to his word as I wait. Yes, resting does involve obedience to his word as his wait. Waiting is never presented, we talked about this last week, as being passive but being active. Please explain and give scenarios about being obedient to the word as I wait. And then she's got a second question, but I'll take this first one first. Pastor Barry, what are your thoughts about
that? Well, I the reason that we are saying yield yourselves to the Holy Spirit is that we have a real, this isn't something that we do as a gamble, right? Yes. This isn't something that we do as a lottery. This is, you know, we understand that there is a provision that has been made from God on God's terms, mm-hmm. and that he has given us two possibilities. One is to be saved. Well, there's three possibilities. We could be unsaved. We could choose to reject the whole kit and caboodle.
Yep.
We could receive Christ and never operate in the Spirit. That's like buying a toy and never really reading the manual and never understanding what the thing actually does.
Like IKEA furniture. Yes.
Yeah, like IKEA furniture. Or three, there is, you could not only believe, but we could say, hey, now that I believe and I am positionally secure, I would like in my experience to experience the things of God on a daily basis. And so when I yield myself, it's because all of God's promises are yay and amen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know that there is a very real, comforter that has been sent to us, as we mentioned, John 14:26. Mm-hmm. Who is reminding us of the truths of God towards us.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these comments that we're reading, yes, it involves patience, it involves resting in Christ, it does involve obedience, but none of those things are even worthy of undertaking unless we experience, or unless we understand who the character and nature of God is.
Beautiful.
Because if we understand the character and nature of God, and we understand that we have a free invitation to experience him, not just as our identity, once and for all, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I've been stamped, okay, set them aside. No, I actually want to have a living, breathing relationship with you. I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people, just like he said to Israel.
Yes.
He says to us as believers, you know, I want to be your God. Mm-hmm. I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want you to experience the things of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, are we going to get tripped up? We are. Now, here's a very distinct difference that we should understand. Because some people say, well, you know, how does the heart of the believer affect their ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm.
And if it was left to, you know, the human heart, we'd never willfully choose to be led or submit ourselves to some other leading.
Yes.
But because we understand that it is a worthwhile submission, mm-hmm. and that the promises well outweigh, you know, if we don't operate in the Spirit— but can our hearts be sinful, and can that sin start to interrupt our relationship with God? Absolutely. It's James 1:22, right?
Yes.
And I like what it says. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when we study that out a little bit, it talks about spiritual earwax.
Okay.
It's what clogs our ability to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the deliverance from ourselves comes from God's word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God's word speaks to us and reveals to us on a day-to-day basis over time more and more about his character and nature and how to walk free from the enemy that we have, which is our flesh, the devil, and ourselves, right?
Yes.
So the ability, does God stop speaking to us? He doesn't stop speaking, but we can stop listening. We
Excellent.
Can stop hearing.
Yes.
And this superfluity of naughtiness, this sinfulness that enters into our lives, willful disobedience or rebellion,
mm-hmm.
can prevent us from being able to walk in the Spirit day to day. We start to have our ears clogged from truth.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hear the leading and the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about you, but this world is insane. And I don't want to walk through this world without God's mind.
Yeah.
Every single statement I make, every conversation, every connection with a human being, every conversation I have in the school with a parent is either a big headache waiting to happen, yes, or it's a beautiful fellowship around Christ and all that he's done to deliver us from ourselves. And the difference between me having a very fruitful, enjoyable conversation with a parent or having it be miserable is to what degree did I bring Christ into the picture? Yes. And that could sound like holy babble, and it's not. Really what I'm saying is there's a relationship with God that brings us to a place where we stop seeing ourselves in our natural position, mm-hmm, and we say, what is the plan of God for this situation? How can we arrive there? How can we bring our kids into it? How can we lay aside our differences and see the truth? That's a supernatural thing.
Yes.
And that has to happen from a supernatural God. So I don't want to be stuck walking around in my own intelligence or my own, because that's a short walk, by the way.
Beautiful.
But you know, can I speak in truth? Yes, I can, because truth has been given to us through his word. The Bible is very real. The Bible speaks to us, gives us guidance and leading. And when we walk in it, we experience the truth of it.
Okay. I want to also, I think this subject is exhaustive. This is a deep, deep subject. And to be frankly honest, I don't know if the grace aisle will cover in a week,
right,
the person and power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Even today, donating 45 minutes to an hour to the filling of the Holy Spirit seems to be cheap. So
yes.
I mean, apologize for that in advance. But I do want to say this. I do want to get to, I'm now Spirit-filled. How do I walk in the Spirit? Because the reality is, if I can be Spirit-filled, it's participation. I like what you said. You said that I stop listening.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that God stops talking. In other words, God wants fellowship with me. He wants to fill me. He wants to lead me. He wants control. But I don't always want to give him the steering wheel. So maybe I give him the steering wheel in the beginning of my day, and then I get on the plaza and I take the steering wheel back, and then, yes, later at lunch I give it to him. So explain us, help me understand this decision that I go from being Spirit-filled in a moment,
yeah,
and then walking in the Spirit.
Yeah, well, I think the walk is not a little sprint, and then we mm-hmm, we walk, and then but it's actually a lifestyle decision that we make. I think that life is something that is a course of life is something that becomes our way of life. You know,
sure,
it's something that we say, you know, I made a decision a long time ago that when I became a child of God, I was going to adopt certain convictions that the Bible has for me that I know lead me to life.
Okay.
You know, when the Bible says, be not drunk with much wine whereunto excess, mm-hmm, it's not just telling us because, you know, he wants us to miss out on the cheap thrill. And when we think about why people drink or get stoned or any of those things, they do so to forget who they are.
Yep.
Right?
To feel better.
To feel better. But the problem is when they wake up from that stupor, they're still there.
And they feel worse.
And they feel worse. And now they have guilt to add to it, or
yeah,
the embarrassment of how they acted in front of somebody while they were under the influence of something else. And imagine, listen to those words, under the influence.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it that we allow to influence us? Is it the law of sin and death?
Mm.
Is it the sin itself?
Right.
Or is it the Spirit and the direction of God? And this is the thing I want to express, is that I can walk by the covering of God. I can walk under,
sure,
be submitted to the things of God. And what am I experiencing? Life and peace, you know? Or I can experience, I walk under the influence of the flesh and I can experience death.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us very clearly, I set before you this day the issues of life and death, good and evil. But
yep,
then he says very clearly, choose life.
Mm-hmm.
Choose
mm-hmm
life, because I have something in it for you. I have a relationship that I'd like to have with you.
Mm-hmm.
Our Christianity becomes a relationship with God. And how do you kindle a relationship? You get to know the person. You
right
talk. You don't have misunderstandings that happen as a result of separation,
mm-hmm,
you know, but you have understanding that happens as a result of spending time together. Now, the first time we ever met, and this was a lot of years ago, so I don't remember how it happened, but the first time we ever met, you know, something in me formulates an opinion of who that guy is.
Sure.
And you're the same with me. And it's not until you get to know each other that you go, wow, I have formed an opinion based completely on appearance or
sure
on a reputation or whatever it is. But now that I know the person, I have an amazing understanding and a care and a love that goes beyond what my eyeballs could tell me. So a walk is something that doesn't just happen a little and then you give it up. A walk is I am deciding to live in the truth that is day to day expressed to us through the relationship I have in Jesus Christ.
That's a great answer. Because a lot of times, Pastor, what you have is two schools of thought. The first school of thought is it's this in and out. I'm in the spirit, I'm out of the spirit, I'm in the spirit, I'm out of the spirit. And that's not a walk, that's trauma.
Yes.
That's Christian trauma right there.
It is.
And there's a lot of believers running around like, am I spirit-filled? Am I not spirit-filled? But when you presented the other school of thought, which I like, is relational.
Yes.
I'm in a relationship.
Yes.
It's like when you are dating somebody and you, in the beginning of the relationship, you often have the question, do they love me? Sometimes you have the question, do I love them? And you're always asking that in and out relationship. But the longer you're in this relationship with this person, the more you stop questioning it and you start trusting by faith that I am. And you live a life that reveals that. And it's a relationship. So if I'm walking, there are moments in my life where I may not be in the spirit. But as I continue as a lifestyle and a practice, let's like prayer, for instance. Okay, I could take prayer, pray without ceasing. So every second I'm not praying, all of a sudden I'm disobeying the Bible. But if it's a lifestyle, if it's a practice, like what does it say in Luke 4? Christ went to the tabernacle, to the synagogue, as was his custom.
Mm.
So if the custom of my life is to be spirit-filled, then the custom of my life would be to walk in the spirit.
Yeah.
So consistent. I'm not going to use the word constant. Because there's very little in my life that I'm constant in my experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
So constant's a bad word for me as a Christian. Because what am I constantly, except for maybe constantly wrong.
Right.
But consistently, I can walk by faith. Consistently, yes. I can pray.
Yeah.
Consistently, when I'm spirit-filled, that's what a walk with God looks like.
Yeah.
And I love the way you brought in the word relationship and described it, because that's what it means. So Christians, don't beat yourself up. If you're always, am I walking in the spirit? Am I not walking in the spirit? I want to check. Pastor Barry said you can have a confidence.
Yeah.
1 John 3:20-21, if your heart condemns you, God knows all things and he's greater than your heart.
Yes.
But if your heart condemns you not, you have confidence with God. You
right.
have confidence with
right.
God.
And who's the maintainer of the relationship, by the way?
There it is.
Right. And I'm in my relationship with my spouse.
Right.
You know, I can fail. Mm-hmm. I can create a problem, but I have to go and fix it, right?
Yeah.
But the beauty about this with God is, and we have 1 John 1:9 that we confess our sins and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins,
mm-hmm.
to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he's the one who maintains the relationship.
Yes.
He's the one who never changes. He's the one that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, am I sinless? No, I'm not. But by the grace of God, I learned to sin less
yes.
in my relationship. Because why do I sin in the first place? Because I'm looking for some satisfaction for my soul. It is a lust pattern.
Mm-hmm.
I need a satisfying thing, whether it's a drink or a smoke or whatever it is. I'm looking for some temporary indulgence that's
sure.
going to satisfy me. But the truth of the matter is there's not one thing that sin can produce that's surpassed by the peace that comes from having a relationship with God.
Yes.
The fulfillment that doesn't go away, that doesn't make us feel guilty, that we can experience in love and peace and in joy and have a walk that is beautiful with God and no regrets, no harmful effects on your health, no mental challenges, no embarrassment in front of other people unless you say raising your hand and singing, you know, singing a hallelujah in front of people.
That may offend a few people, but yes.
But you know what? Thank God
that
the end result, and I said this to the kids this morning, was, you know, raise your hands. Who cares who's next to you? Raise your hands and praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because at the end of the day, he's the only one whose relationship you should really be covetous of.
Beautiful.
Any other relationship is temporary, and it might bring genuine satisfaction for a season,
mm-hmm.
but then it doesn't. And it brings trouble. And it's really a little foretaste of what a real relationship with Christ is like when we can be satisfied truly. And this is why we can't afford to walk in the flesh, but we need to be filled with the Spirit day to day. We are indwelt by the Spirit at salvation. We are filled with the Spirit day to day. We renew ourselves, our minds in him, which is really a way of saying just refresh, reset, count it all glory, wake up in the morning, offer up the one sacrifice, which we still got to do, which is the sacrifice of praise. Say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. We're off to a good start just by that being the way that we start.
Amen.
Yep.
As we close the program today, if you have never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you to put your faith and your confidence in the person and work of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you can come down at 6025 Moravia Park Drive and join us tonight for service. We have service here at 7 o'clock tonight. Come on down. We'd love to see you at church. We're also here on Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. God bless you as we continue talking about the Holy Spirit in your life this week on the Grace Hour. Take care.